Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Sports City, everybody across the World Wide Web. It's Sports City about to take flight with the food fight. Yeah, I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but we're going to get into a lot of interesting stuff. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with this chef. I done took off my blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside, the kitchen Thomas is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitate me, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way.
Okay. The caller number is 917-889-9592. Sports City, I am so focused. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm going to be real honest. I keep it 100% with y'all every time I'm in the kitchen. But regardless, I am on this show right now, and I am extremely nervous. I am nervous. One of my close friends now that I've built this relationship rapport with him is in front of one of the mega fights tonight. And I actually am somewhat happy because I spoke to him throughout the week. And I'm nervous, but he's feeling real good. So I'm not going to spill too much of this dish out, man. I feel some type of way, Sports City. Believe me, I'm grinning ear for ear nervously. I'm not going to lie. So let me get into this show. I got my co-host here with me, on my co-chef. However you want to put it together, we already know it's all family. In his doggone kitchen. Calling in by way of the state of Arizona. You guys know him as Nacho, a.k.a. Mr. Silver. Welcome to the food fight. How are you feeling this afternoon?
Oh, I'm feeling good. We got a lot of fights going on. Some fights start here in a half hour. Some UFC fights going on tonight for some vacant titles because some people are crazy. And, you know, it's just a bunch of stuff going on today.
Well, I asked about you. I don't want to give out the recipe. I'm cooking for him on the recipe, man. I'm asking about you personally. I'm worried about you. I care. You know what I'm saying? I'm worried about you. You know what I'm saying? Because they ain't worried about me. They don't ask me, like, hey, you all right, man? You know what I'm saying? I had one of my big brothers check in on me today, and thank God for him for checking in on a brother. I'm going through a lot, Sports City. I'm going through a lot, but I keep my personality focused for y'all. But other than that, man, we're going to get this story and this show going. So, Mr. Silver, since your last name is so big in this sport, we might as well just take it to that sport and start off there.
You know, yeah, we have UFC 187 tonight. It is a pay-per-view event, so if you do want to catch it, you're going to have to pay the pay-per-view price, whatever your local, you know, standing is going to be. But and in select movie theaters, that's how big this is going to be. But the first fight, it's actually a two-title fight a night. It wouldn't normally been, but because of the mishappens of the World Light Heavyweight Championship, that formerly being owned by John Jones, and we all know what he went through. If you don't know, just look it up. I really don't want to talk about him and what he went through because it's just bad on the sport. I want to get to the fight here as it pertains to Johnson versus Cormier. It's going to be an exciting fight to check out. But that is for the vacant World Light Heavyweight Championship. I did want to hop into that one first off the bat. This is obviously neither one of them have the title, so no one's defending it. It's a vacant title. People are trying to, they get it. So it's going to be interesting to see which one stacks up against the other. So Anthony Johnson, I'll just read down the how they stack up against each other. Anthony Johnson, He's 19-4, 6'2", 204 and a quarter, or 204 and a half with a 78-inch reach. So, you know, he's pretty big. He's got a long reach going up against Daniel Cormier, who's 15-1, that one loss, only being to John Jones in the last fight that Jones was in. Cormier, I can't say his last name very well, but Cormier, he's 5'11", 205 with a 72-inch reach. So not only is he giving up about 3 inches, 3 inches in height, but he's given about 6 inches in reach advantage. So we may see something similar to what happened against him and Jones if Anthony Johnson can do what he's supposed to do. But it's going to be difficult for Cormier, I think, to get inside. So my question to you is, not only for is this for the vacant title, but which one of these guys do you feel like, you know, it can have the chance? Do you think it's Cormier, being in the fact that he just took on the best and being John Jones, whether whether that is truth or not? But do you think it'll be Cormier or Johnson? But my pick is going to have to be Cormier. I've been behind Cormier even before he went against John Jones. I thought he was the one guy that could take down John Jones in that octagon. But John Jones was just, you know, whatever have you that night, was the better man in the ring. So Cormier is going to be, or in the octagon. So when it comes to this one, I'm going to still stick with Daniel Cormier. That 15-1 record just stands out to me. So I have to say I'm going with Cormier. I think he can get inside and do what he needs to do, prove why he should be the light heavyweight champion for the UFC. And what are your thoughts on this, Ty?
Okay, so now we start off the show the right way, going in two opposite directions, and that's what's good about Sports City, because if we don't agree, it just sets up for a good show. But I'll be able to sit here and debate. Well, we can. That's what brings the fire to the kitchen. The interesting thing about it is, because of the personal situation that I have with Anthony Johnson, that I'm actually signing with him. But I don't know, because Cormier, as you said, only has one loss, and that was the last fight that he had up against John Bones Jones, where he didn't want to me, I didn't think he wanted to bring the fight to John Bones Jones. I mean, he tried, but John was more or less throwing anything at him and connecting on stuff, while Cormier was just trying to more or less get inside and bring that physical nature to the fight and try to win, you know, basically in any tactic that he can. But now Anthony Johnson actually is similar in style with him, because Anthony also wrestles as well too. But both of these guys are climbing their way back to Comeback Mountain, and Anthony's actually been successful in beating a fighter that actually brought a very interesting fight to John Bones Jones. So this actually puts an interesting perspective in front of both of them, while Anthony actually made a statement in front of one of the networks and stating that this might be one of his toughest fights, because Cormier is having another appearance or chance at trying to get a shot at winning the championship. So he's basically saying that he's going to see the best from Cormier, because he knows what it took the last time to fight, but he didn't fight a fighter to the nature of what Anthony brings. So knowing that Anthony doesn't have a whole bunch of bag of tricks like John Bones Jones has, I think this sets up for a very interesting fight. And I think it's up in the air, but me having a personal attachment to Anthony, I got to side with him. But I think Cormier definitely presents a very interesting fight in front of Anthony, but this is basically a coin flip, but I know which side I am and have to go with.
Okay, yeah, and I totally don't, you know, like I said, I don't fault you for going the way you're going, but I just have to say, as much as it took for Cormier to get into that position to beat John Jones and not to be able to do it, I think now he feels like he took on the best at this weight class, and as good as Anthony Johnson can be, he's still not John Jones, so I do have to believe that, you know, this is Cormier's shot to beat it. I actually hope this is an amazing fight where it goes maybe the distance, or it's so slugfest and slobber knocker that it has to be seen again, because I would love to see these guys maybe go a double or triple event, because the fight that both these fighters bring to the ring is going to be awesome if they can get it together. And like I said, if they're both trying to fight for the inside, and I know they're both good with wrestling, but if they want to rumble, so to speak, it could be awesome. So it's gonna be a pretty exciting for me to see who goes at it. Like I said, I do believe Cormier comes out the victor in this. But like I said, I would love to see a very close fight that goes to the end, if not a knockout at the very end, or a decision to where we have to see it again, because I think this could be a ticket seller for the UFC.
Okay, well, we do have a caller in queue, or a chef, if you will. And I think you woke him up on Thursday, so this is going to be very interesting, Mr. Silva. So you better buckle up, in the words of Terrell Owens, get your popcorn ready. Calling in by way of Brooklyn, a.k.a. that borough. I love that borough. I can't even front. Got a lot of family in Brownsville and Bed-Stuy, so I know a decent amount. Probably not more than him. But calling out of the state of South Carolina, Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus Taylor. Welcome to the Food Fight. How are you feeling this afternoon?
I'm good, man. I'm still waiting on somebody to send me some barbecue. I know they're barbecuing in Arizona right now. I'm just saying FedEx sends food, but, you know, whatever.
We are barbecuing. I had to wait for after the show. I made everything go around the food fight. So the carne asada is marinating. You know, the potato salad's ready. We got watermelon being cut up. We got freaking the chicken, the Cornish hens. They're being marinated right now. So we're ready, but we just gotta wait until the food fight's over. Then we'll get into the actual food fight.
Wait, hold on. He is not the lone big guy here, all right? You just can't make one dish. Okay?
I didn't give you poundage of how much we bought of that for a reason, because if we bought so much, it's too much.
Yeah, and if you send me a bag of Tostitos, I'm flying down there personally, okay? I'm not having it. Taylor getting Cornish hens and ribs and all this. Listen, I better not get nacho cheese and nachos. That's
why they call them nacho in the box. So we're going to send you nacho in the box.
Excuse me, people. Okay, so Taylor, from what you heard thus far, and I guess you're the tiebreaker in this situation of an interesting fight MMA with Daniel Cormier and Anthony Rumble Johnson. I mean, all of the hype is here, and this is going to be an incredible fight. Both of these guys trying to storm their way back to get to this belt that has basically been vacated due to everything that's been around John Bones Jones, and not that they want to talk about it. I'll briefly give the discussion. John Bones Jones and his several run-ins with the law, including the past one with a hit and run and, you know, having paraphernalia and, you know, going back and leaving the scene, coming back to get money, so on and so forth, is why they basically dropped him from the championship situation. Your thoughts, opinions around this fight that's taking place tonight with Daniel Cormier and Anthony Johnson?
Well, the only good thing I've heard about John Jones right now is the fact that his lawyer said that he may not never fight again because he's got to get his life in order. So that's about the only positive thing he's got going right now is that.
Really? So that was a recent statement?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago when everything happened, his lawyer said, because people were talking about, you know, if he's going to come back and fight. His lawyer said, you know what, I'm not concerned about him fighting again, and honestly, he may not never fight again because he can't get his life in order. If he can't get his life in order, he can't fight. So it's really that simple. So at least the people in his life are not concerned with him getting back in the ring. They're more concerned with him getting his life in order. So he's made enough money. He's won enough fights. Get your life together and move on.
And not even about the money. He has two brothers that are in the NFL playing professional football. So it ain't about money either. But I didn't mean to cut you off. Proceed. I'm sorry.
But I'm not a fan of Cormier. Haven't been. I don't think he's built to be a champion. He's had opportunities, and every time he's had an opportunity to really step up and cement his position and really make a name for himself, he's come up short. You know, he's come up small. I understand he's only had one loss, but he's had opportunities in some of his victories to really, really put himself as one of the best, you know, and he hasn't. He hasn't. He's come up small when he's had an opportunity. I'm not a fan. I don't think he wins. I don't think he's built to be a champion. I think he's always going to be a bridesmaid. I don't think he's ever going to be a bride. So I'm going to go to Anthony Johnson, and I think it'll probably be a submission. But I think it will go the distance, but I think it'll end up being a submission.
Okay. You know, that is the – I'm on the odd end now, so I have to defend it. You know, that is a good point, but – with 81, I think it's 81 and a quarter. We'll just call it 81% takedown defense by Cormier. It's going to be hard for Johnson to get in there anyway. But that's a good – I definitely could see that happening. I wouldn't bet against that. But I think more or less it would be a knockout more than either one of these guys, because even on the other side, Johnson's at an 85% takedown defense. So I think either one of these guys trying to go to the ground is going to be something that – they'll try early and get defended often, and it'll just deter them either one, and they'll end up standing up for majority of the fight.
Go ahead, Chael. I'm sorry. I'm coming after you. Go ahead.
I was just agreeing with Nacho. I can see that, but I think because of that, I think they're both going to wind up on the ground a lot. And that's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Cormier is a situation where in a fight like this, he really doesn't need to try to be on the ground. He needs to try to go ahead and put this guy down and go ahead and stand up and knock this guy out to show that he's a versatile fighter. And I think he's going to wind up trying to be on the ground most of the fight.
And the interesting thing about this is knowing that they both specialize in wrestling, that whoever gets the initial, strong point of the grasp and in a takedown situation, it might work, but just like Nacho said, their takedown defense actually plays a big part or portion in this. But the advantage I hold toward Anthony is I think Anthony's, boxing or hand game, if you will, is much more conventional than Cormier's. And not to say Cormier doesn't have it or can't actually have a shot that can land on the button on Anthony and knock him out or something, but knowing that this has been the nature of Anthony's fight style is actually being able to stand up. And his nickname stands for itself and being Rumble. I think that every facet of the fight actually is in favor of Anthony. But not to take anything away from Cormier, but this is definitely interesting because both of them really haven't fought. Well, more or less, Cormier has not fought a guy to Anthony Johnson's stature. I think the more or less situation when he fought John Bone Jones was very tricky. He couldn't really get a real timing of what John Bone Jones was doing. And to me, I hate to do this right now, Sports City. That fight was somewhat boring to me because they both were trying to figure each other out. It wasn't like no real initial action was happening like we were used to seeing in an MMA bout. So I think this one is definitely going to stand up to the cause. I'm just hoping that my boy isn't on the wrong side of the fence in this one, but regardless, I still support him all in all. And looking at what Chandler said about Cormier actually on the short end of the stick, I think all of the fights that he's taken actually favored him in his fight on his 15-0 run before he actually ended up losing his last bout going up against John Bones Jones. So it's like, this is actually a fight that he has to, get his stripes if he's going to beat Anthony tonight. And if Anthony wins this, I'm going to let you partially in on this. You know what I'm saying? Knowing everything that Anthony has been through and the delay of him being out of MMA through all of the situation that he's gone through and knowing that he's fighting his way back to try and get to a championship or win his championship, and hearing the story personally, like me and him alone, nobody around us, just hearing the story alone, I'm my heart beating extra right now because I know him and everything. So this is just too great. I was supposed to be out there, but knowing how America is with funding, I can't go out there I want to. And he knows I'm out there in spirit with him, but bring that junk back, Ant. Bring it back. But I don't know, man. It's real personal for me. I didn't think we were going to jump into this dish first, but I like it. Anything else that you guys would like to address, whether, Nacho or Chandler, please do.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nacho.
No, I was just going to say, in defense of Anthony Johnson, if it does go quick, he's the only fighter in the UFC with four such fights that have ended under a minute. I just had it up. Give me 1 second. I think 13 seconds, 41 seconds, 44 seconds, and 51 seconds. The only fighter in the UFC with four such fights, being ended in the first minute of the fight. So if it can end quickly, and so it might. So in the defense of Anthony Johnson and probably proving me wrong, which I don't like to do a lot, but it could be a quick fight for Cormier if it ends up being a quick fight. So. But, the guy is proven, like you said, he went from the top to the bottom. Now he's trying to get back up to the top again. So I think these things, and we have to bring to light the situation that these things don't happen all the time where there's a vacant belt. It takes a retirement or something like that to have a vacant belt, to have it be vacant, especially in the midst of Jon Jones' run where no one's seen him being dethroned for at least the next 5 years. to have this belt be open like this. It's a great opportunity for either fighter. So I'm still picking Cormier, but Johnson has a great chance to, you know, rewrite the history books again.
Well, on those take the knockouts and or wins. You only told a male fighter this because, you know, I know Ronda Rousey got better times than that, but.
But they're not knockouts. But all the people that are, you know, goo-goo gaga over her, she is winning by about to break somebody's arm. Everybody, of course you're going to tap out, so I'm going to give you that. But she's not toe-to-toe knocking these girls out and punching their teeth out. And not that, well, yeah, it's the nature of the fight, so yeah, she has to do that. But she's winning in 14 seconds by grabbing her arm and bending it the other way. I mean, if she gets to it, I mean, yeah, bravo for it. I can't take too much away from her knowing how to be tactical and grabbing arms, but come on, relax. Realize Rhonda beat a girl to a pulp. I mean, I literally cut her like by a punch or an elbow to the face or something, or kicks. Do something. Show me something. I seen you in training. I seen you throwing your trainer around and doing, you know, shoulder rolls and hip tosses, so on and so forth. Show me that in the ring. Show me that in the ring. Now, Chandler. Also, I did want to get to this, Chandler, before we, you know, I let you go and then address another situation. Given the fact that you got word on a situation for the John Bones situation where he's not potentially fighting again, I mean, he's relatively young in his age, especially in the fight game. I mean, he's in his mid-20s, you know, and one, he got the championship taken from him because of acts that he made, and two, you know, this has to be like one of those bone-jarring, you know, shattering situations that he might not be able to fight against if they're trying to straighten the situation out. Sam, are you there?
Hello? Yeah. Well, you were breaking up. I didn't hear what you said.
No, we're just addressing the situation that you threw about John Bones Jones and him may not being able to fight again because they're trying to get everything taken care of. Knowing that this is big, knowing that he's young, it's not like he's at the end of his fighting rope, if you will. He still has a lot of years left, but if this really is a strong situation that he can't turn things around in his life, it's just a tough pill to swallow for fight fans, especially the MMA world, that a lot of people, including myself, are fascinated what John Bones Jones brings to the octagon.
Well, the thing is, if he comes back in 3-4 years, fine. Okay, because at that point, hopefully he'll have his life together, but he doesn't need to fight in the next 3 years. Give me 3 years of proving to me, of proving to yourself, of proving to your family that you got your life together, that you ain't getting arrested, that you ain't getting high. Bottom line, that you ain't getting high. You understand what I'm saying? He come back in 6 months or a year, he's probably still using. And he's going to throw it, he's going to blow it all. So let him take 2-3 years off. And yeah, I'm being honest, 2-3 years. Get your life together. Get it together. Get it right. And then if you want to come back, fine then. But if you never come back, he's done enough. He's done enough in his sports career. Okay? Now it's about him living the rest of his life. You know, because if he don't stop using, he's not going to have a rest of his life. Or he's going to wind up in jail or dead. Those are the choices. You can stay strung out, you can die, you can go to jail. Those are your choices. Or you can get it together and maybe come back in 3-4 years, you know, to me. But for the Daniel Cormier thing, one of the things I wanted to say is when you talk about his fights and they set up for him, that's why I'm not a fan of him. That's why I'm not a believer, I should say. Because even when John Jones was there, Cormier wasn't even an afterthought. He wasn't even an afterthought. He should have been the guy that kept saying, oh, man, they need to fight again. After that last fight, did anybody want to see them fight again? Anybody want to see them fight again? No.
No.
And that's my point. So you can't tell me he's championship material. You know, he's had fights set up for him to really make, put his stamp in UFC. And, you know, outside of people who watch UFC, nobody knows his name. And half the people who watch UFC don't know his name. So what kind of champion is he going to be? You can't be bland and nondescript and be a champion. Those things just don't go together. I'm sorry. They don't go together. So that's why I'm not a believer in him. That's why I think Anthony Johnson will win. And I think Anthony Johnson has the ability and the it thing to really blow up as a face of USC and put his stamp on things. As far as Ronda Rousey goes, you know what? Her opponents know what she's getting ready to do, and they still can't stop her. That's all I'm going to say.
True. And it's like when they fight her, it's crazy. It's like when they fight her, they try not to keep their arm out there too long. They know she's about to do the alligator snap and just, you know, basically get ready to break that thing. And they ain't got no choice but to tap out of that, man. So, Nacho, anything else that you'd like to address from whether Chandler said anything or add something to it?
You know, I won't touch on Ronda Rousey. We'll get on her when she's got a fight, and we'll talk about that because it'll probably take a whole 60 minutes on that. But when we get to John Jones and his, you know, battles in life and what have you, Dana White on Jim Rome recently, I believe it was as recent as this last week, stated when and if John Jones comes back, he gets a title shot. That's ridiculous. It's dumb. It's beyond me. It's preposterous. So, of course, John Jones is going to take his time. He's going to go through the proper procedures, go through the civil suit, go through the trial, get what he needs to get through, get his punishment, go on with it, because when he comes back, he's got a title shot waiting. I don't know what in the hell Dana White is thinking. That is quite literally like giving someone, you know, prizes for breaking the law. I don't know. Whenever I did something when I was younger, my parents didn't ground me by getting me a new car. My parents didn't ground me by saying, you know what, here's a new PlayStation. They, you know, I had to start from the bottom. Doors were taken off hinges. Light things were unplugged. Systems were gone for weeks on end. So for him to be able to do what he did, ruin the sport, taint the sport, make it look like a mockery like he did, it's ridiculous that he would be able to get a title shot when he comes back, even if he goes through the proper procedures, goes through the civil court and all that stuff, handles what he needs to handle. I don't care that he ran through almost everyone he ran through. I don't care that he was one of the greatest in the octagon and he still hasn't been beaten. It's ridiculous that he doesn't have to start from the bottom or at least have to fight a couple guys when he comes back or if he comes back. So as it pertains to John Jones, like I said, I didn't really want to talk about him because I think he's a disgrace to this sport. I hope he never comes back. He's a disgrace to his family. The two Super Bowl champions he has his brothers. They're bigger men than I am for being behind him because that's a disgrace to my family name and to everything that we put forward. They're a family of champions now. All we think about is a cocaine user who can't stay off of it and drug user who's in and out of jail and running from the police, not two Super Bowl champions and a guy who couldn't be beat in the octagon. So right now, John Jones is a disgrace to me, and I hope he never steps foot back in the octagon on the UFC. And if he does, I'm not buying the fight, regardless of who he fights. He can fight the greatest fighter of all time, Anderson Silva, and I still wouldn't watch it. So it's really sad to see what he did to this sport, and the fact that Dana White's gonna, you know, hitch his wagon to that disgrace. Makes that sport a disgrace, starting to be. So I'm getting really irritated right now on this subject. So, but yeah, it's really pissing me off what they're doing with John Jones.
Okay, well, this is in defense of the situation, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm a John Bones Jones fan, but he didn't, and it, just like you said, he didn't lose that belt. He lost it because of his stupid mistakes. I'm gonna say stupid too, but his stupid mistakes at the end of the day. So if he does get his life together, I think that's why Dana is saying that he should be able to get a shot at getting his belt back because he didn't lose the belt. He basically got it stripped from him because of the mistake that he made in his own personal agenda. So I understand the frustration, and I'm not going to lie. I am one of those guys that actually believes in second chances for people, but he's been through – this is his third chance. I just don't know how to address it. I mean, I wish him the best, and this all stemmed from December, even though that fight took place with him and Cormier in January. His legal matters go back to December with him failing the drug test and actually being able to still go out there and fight. I still question that on why they still let him go out there and be able to fight Daniel Cormier when he actually – but knowing that his name is a prize fighter in the sport, knowing that he's going to draw money and attention to his bout, whoever he ends up fighting, is why they would actually set that up, whether it's Anthony or Daniel that he ends up fighting. More or less, I think if he fights Anthony, that's the one that everybody would like to see him fight, or if he fights Anderson Silva. But Silva has his own issues, especially with his own drug usage as well. So there's a lot of issues in MMA alone. I mean, Nick Diaz, Anderson Silva, John Bones Jones, and they talk about boxing. They talk about boxing, people. All right. Go ahead.
As UFC gets bigger, these things are going to start being put out there more. When UFC was still looked at as a niche sport, nobody cared what guys were doing in UFC. UFC is arguably one of the five major sports in the world right now, not just this country, in the world.
Right.
You can make a really good argument that UFC is one of the five major sports on this planet. And as it has gotten bigger, guys doing things like this will now be publicized more. Will now all that the stuff that the TMZs, you know, I hate TMZ, but the TMZs and the people who like to dig for that dirt, they didn't care about UFC before. Now they do. Now they're going to dig up the dirt on these guys, and now these guys are going to be put out there with all of their demons and all the things that they've been getting away with. And that's why you're starting to hear more and more and more about some of these fighters. And that's the, I guess, the flip side to gaining popularity and becoming large is now, you know what, now that we built you up, now we got to knock you down.
Okay. Nacho, anything else before we run to at least the next bout?
No, that's it. I mean, we can get into the next stuff if you want to.
Okay, so the next one is a very interesting fight with Belfort and Weidman, the American. And Noah Belfort actually has a pretty good resume up against a lot of quality fighters in MMA. Your thoughts on this matchup, and knowing Weidman himself is the defending champ and actually beat Anderson Silva twice, one by knockout, the second one. If you did not watch the fight or did not hear about it, please get close to a YouTube as soon as possible. And if you got a weak stomach, don't watch it. I still get goosebumps and chills every time I do watch it. And this is when he actually broke his lower half of his, the shin area. I'm not sure exactly what bone I would call that, but it actually broke in a very rubber bandish way. But Nacho, your thoughts on this bout and how you perceive things going down?
As you could tell by my last statement, I'm a huge Anderson Silva fan. So the first knockout was Anderson being dumb and careless. The second one was a broken foot. So to me, Chris Weidman's a false champion. I mean, you got Anderson Silva, who pretty much in the first fight was just bouncing around and pretending that he could beat this guy and didn't take him seriously, which is on his fault. So I do blame Anderson Silva, but we got to see the realness in the second fight, and it ended up being a broken leg that ended that fight prematurely. So, as it pertains, I see Vitor Belfort going in there winning, taking this fight from the false champion and Chris Weidman, and it goes on from there. He got to pick his last fight, so he got an easy knockout on Chris Weidman. This time he gets Vitor Belfort, who, for all intents and purposes, and even though he did get kicked in the face rather hard by Anderson Silva and knocked out Vitor Belfort, I do believe he's still the better fighter in this fight. His record is better as it pertains to more fights, more experience, and I think he's ready for a slap and knocker and anything Weidman can throw at him. The cockiness and the overconfidence that Weidman has shown since the lucky knockout has just been turned me off on him. I thought he would be a great fighter, but he's just, living off a lucky knockout and a broken leg. So Vitor Belfort's going to bring him down to size and down to earth. So Vitor Belfort, Brazilian pride, he's going to knock him out for everyone.
Wow. Talk about disrespect. disrespectful. He is not playing with you, Christopher. Look. Chris, do your thing. Belfour, I respect you, man. Knowing how Belfour has actually, fought a lot of the big-time guys in this sport. But I do agree, since Weidman has actually, won the championship, nobody's really challenged him in this manner. I think this is definitely going to be a tough fight because Belfour doesn't play any games. He's the guy that comes forward. He's very tactical. He's good on the ground, has a very good ground game as well. So Weidman better hope that he can keep him away with that height advantage that he does have in this fight. But if not, this is a very interesting bout. Chandler, do you have any or thoughts on this matchup between Chris Weidman or Vitor Belfort?
So, Nacho, let me get this straight. You think Belfort, who's no longer on the steroids, that really helped his career? I mean, you killing Chris Weidman, but Belfort was using steroids for how long?
Sorry, go ahead.
And I get that they were legally sanctioned, but he ain't on the steroids no more. He ain't on the roids no more. So now he's got a fight, and it's just him now. I'm not a big Weidman fan, but I'm certainly not a Belfort fan because I don't believe in his numbers. I don't believe in his record because of the steroids. So I don't think he wins because I think now he has to face it without his assistant, so to speak. I think Chris Weidman. Yeah, I get Weidman, and he's he is what he is. He kind of rubs you the wrong way, and he comes off as a prick in many ways. But I'll take him over the guy that's winning with assistance.
And I understand that, and I get the fact that a lot of fans are going to say the same thing that he was using, but I think Vitor Belfort's talent was just masked by that, and people use that as I don't want to say an excuse, but as an excuse to why he won, and I'm going to say it, and I didn't want to, but an excuse to why he won. And I think that I think that Vitor Belfort was good enough to win those fights without the substances. I think with the substances, they just ended earlier than it would have. That's the only thing I think. I think Belfort's talent still would have carried him to those victories and still would have, got the record now. The fights probably wouldn't have lasted as short, and he would have gotten maybe fewer knockouts and more decisions. But I do think he would have definitely won just as many fights as he had without the substances. But that's just my personal opinion on the guy. I think his talent level is up there to par, and I think without the substances, he's there to prove it. And the fact that Chris Weidman has done nothing but say the same thing you're saying, but in a very ruder fashion, and in a very fashion like this guy hadn't fought any of the middleweight champions ever, really ticked off Vitor Belfort. And I really do think Belfort's going to want to prove something. This isn't Anderson Silva. He's got to go in and fight, and this is a title that he's been wanting for a long time. So I'm going to stick with Belfort. Like I said, 12-0, you can't deny it, but that's so much of a small record. And like I said, I don't agree with the two wins over Anderson Silva. Obviously, the knockout, you can't deny that. But if you watch that fight and you tell me more than 10 seconds where Anderson Silva took that fight seriously, and I won't even argue with you, but I bet you can't. He didn't take any part of Chris Weidman seriously, and in this business, you can't do that. He learned that mistake, and when he took him seriously, he broke his leg. So I just don't know if I can still be behind Chris Weidman. This is going to make me see. He has every opportunity tonight to change my mind about him. Personally, obviously, I don't think I'm going to care for him. But as we all know, I can differentiate from someone outside an octagon or a ring to inside of one. So more personally, I can take away the fact that, he's a cocky jerk 98% of the time outside the ring if he can prove it to me tonight by beating Vitor Belfort like he says he should. So, if he does it the way he does it, says he does it and proves me wrong, then obviously I'm going to have to, reconsider how I feel about him. But as of right now, I do think Vitor Belfort, without those substances, a lot of people are going to use that as a crutch to say he won a lot. I think he still would have won those same amount even without the substances.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about Weidman is that he does piss you off as a person because you're right. Silva didn't take that fight seriously. I mean, he wasn't a shit. He didn't take that fight seriously at all. He didn't look like he even belonged in the ring. And that's the thing about Weidman. That's why it's hard to root for him. I just have a problem with Belfort using the steroids. I think if you look talent wise and you just go head up, without any of the other stuff, you put them together, you say whose talent is better, it's Belfort. It's Belfort. I just don't know how much of an advantage he had with the steroids. That's where I'm coming from. I'm not trying to knock talent level. Is what it is. It's just, was he winning because of the steroids, or did, like you said, they just make the fight shorter because of the steroids?
Yeah, it's gonna have to be something we see tonight for me to determine. But I'm gonna stick with Belfort, and then we're just gonna have to see here in a few hours.
This is very tough. This is a tough way to go because, and to look at it this way, it's like, look, Chris is on American soil trying to, you know, appease every American to win this fight. Norm Belfort wants to get that championship that, you know, basically people have basically put that question mark in front of him. When is he going to be the championship and be able to, you know, retain the situation and defend it as best as he possibly can, knowing that he's coming out of his element and fighting here. Even though he's fought here before, I think this could actually staple him because if he wins this fight, everybody's going to come after him, more or less while they were just trying to set up title fights or fights that have somewhat interest in the MMA octagon. I think this one right here could actually put him in a very comfortable situation with setting up not only a big payday in MMA, but also very interesting fights. And for that rematch, if they could set it up for him and Anderson Silva to end up going back at it, that's if Anderson can get his name cleared with everything that's swirling around him. And knowing I love Anderson Silva as well as the fight game also, that's pretty big in itself. But if not, if Vitor could come up with his championship, I'm wondering if they could set up a rematch situation if Anderson can't get his name clear, or the name that may potentially end up popping up in their respective weight class to see if people may want to bang out with either Belfort or if Weidman hangs on to it. Does this present for Weidman to basically move on and end up fighting guys in that weight class as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's right, because I really do think when it pertains to Weidman, if he knocks out Belfort quick and he proves me wrong and he does that, it's going to be hard for people to want to jump into the ring with a 13-0 guy who beat, you know, a guy who's pretty much should be a champion. But if Belfort wins, regardless of any way he wins, the whole crowd is going to come after Belfort. The entire crop of middleweights are going to want a shot at Belfort immediately. So I think as it pertains to the sport, it would be easier, a money grabber, for Belfort to win. So I think a lot of the sport fans in UFC want him to win just for the fact that it'll bring tons of big fights. But if Weidman wins, like, it's really hard to get these guys to fight each other more often than not, especially if Weidman's the champion. So we're going to have a lot of guys fighting each other underneath Weidman and not really, you know, trying to fight Weidman themselves right off the top. So I think with Belfort wins, we're going to see the title might change hands a few times. So it's going to be interesting. It's very going to be interesting to see if Belfort wins. But, you know, if Weidman wins, I don't really care.
You can't be like that. You don't really care. Like, you have to care. You're going to be hearing about him. You're going to be speaking on him regardless of his next fight, seeing if it is a big name.
Yeah, I get that. I'm going to care to the extent of he's the champion, and then when we talk about him, he's going to be the champion. But, you know, with the talk of Anderson Silva and if he clears his name and him might moving up to light heavyweight and things like that, if he doesn't fight Anderson Silva a third time, and I hate to say prove to me because Anderson broke his leg the second time, a lot of people would say, you know, he got his chance, and it was a checked leg kick, so it wasn't like he just kicked at a leg. It was a checked leg kick that he broke it. So I'm just a big proponent that he needs to fight Anderson at 100%, and they need to go at it one more time for me. If there's a broken leg or a broken bone by Anderson, then it's just done and over with. But, you know, if he beats Anderson, you know, maybe the way he beat him the first time or a late knockout or a submission, then, you know, albeit he's the champion, and I'll, you know, like I said, in the ring it'll be – in the octagon it'll be more. But right now I can't care for the guy personally, and in the ring I just think he's a false champion. I don't think he deserves to be.
Wow, this tough, but I'm telling you, this boy, you get the raw in the kitchen. That's why I tell him, keep it raw so we can cook it up in the kitchen. You guys are getting the best dishes that sports talk about. I'm serious. I can care less. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback and responses on how things went down Thursday. So the food fight, I know people going to let me know after this show. And call the number 917-889-9592. We got 15 minutes more of this good old food for thought for y'all to do these dishes. Knowing that we got a lot of interesting fights coming up, what do we have on slate for the next upcoming weeks, Nacho, that we get to discuss?
Well, today there's a fight on NBC. PBC had just started about 15 minutes ago. Andre Durrell, James DeGale. That's a great fight. You guys should be checking it out right now. Free on NBC. Next week, I have to check it. I think it is next week. We have Khan and Algeri coming up. Let me make sure that's correct on the date on that, unless that was something I saw that was a falsity. Give me 1 second here. I had it pulled up. But, yeah, it's really – today is the part
that
I wanted to get to.
That fight actually takes place Friday on the 29th.
It is. It is live on Spike TV, May 29th,
yeah.
Friday, and that is Khan versus Algeri. I didn't want to say Saturday and NBC and be the wrong channel and things like that. But, yeah, it
right.
is definitely on Spike TV. Spike TV, Friday, May 29th. Check that fight out. If you don't know who Algeri is, he's the guy that got knocked down 6 times by Manny. But he's also the guy that got – with one eye, pretty much beat the crap out of, you know, Provodnikov, boxed the crap out of him for 11 rounds with one eye. Whether you know Provodnikov or not, he's a brawler. He's a guy that likes to come at you, and he totally stalled him. So that's another reason why the falsity of Manny is out, is that Algeri pretty much laid down for Manny. We'll get into that later as we get to the Algeri fight with Khan next week. That fight's coming up on Friday, so we'll talk about that on Saturday, who won that and how that goes. Golovkin, Triple G, we all know he's got big fights coming up and things like that. We didn't really get to talk about him last week or a couple weeks ago just because of the way things went. But the thing that gets to me with Triple G is that he wants Canelo, he wants Cotto and these things, and he wants to fight all these people, but a lot of people don't want to fight him. So that's just going to be interesting to see who wants to step in the ring with him. But as it pertains to Amir Khan and Chris Algeri, this could be the fight that makes Amir Khan the runner, the front runner for the September fight against Mayweather. If we're talking about that, that might be a fight that I think is the most interesting, that I think is, you know, it's going to be a boxing match, so don't expect to see a brawl or anything in that type of match. But it's going to be interesting if Khan can pull off this victory against Algeri on Friday. But like I said, Algeri's no pushover. He's no slum. He's got the kickboxing background. He's got the record now. He was a world title holder before fighting Manny. So it's going to be interesting as it pertains to Friday and Chris Algeri and Khan. Again, I'm mentioning it again because I did call it. I even called the catch weight. I feel really good about it. June 20th, Sean Porter, Adrian Broner. A lot of people called him Money's little brother, talking about billions, A.B. Adrian Broner. This is a dangerous fight for him. Both guys got one loss. Both guys trying to avenge that loss. We all saw Adrian's loss to Maidana, which got him a Floyd shot. Whatchamacallit, I'm so sorry. Kell Brook's defeat of Sean Porter earlier last year. So it's going to be a great fight, in my opinion, as it pertains. It's going to be a 144-145 catch weight. So June 20th, catch that. That's going to be on Premier Boxing Champion. So there's just so much going on every week in and week out. Like I said, you're not going to be able to pick out huge, giant names. But like I said, pick one, pick two. End up following them. Hopefully they win and you can move on. And if they look bad, you can pick the other guy and continue moving because you'll probably see him in a couple months on PBC again. So, again, this is just an amazing thing for the TVs and everything. But the big fight that I wanted to, you know, maybe even get to touch on was that Khan Algeri fight, just because the implications Khan could have with facing Mayweather in September.
Okay, now here's a very interesting standpoint that I have on the situation. You said that he could be the forefront leader in coming at Floyd, and this is true because I think as much as he called Floyd out, and to me, he's probably the closest natured boxer in that weight class that I could actually present Kell Brook to. Kell Brook and Thurman are probably the other two boxers in the weight class outside of Khan that I think could present a problem to Floyd. But that's where I think that he should actually look, either Kell Brook or Thurman for a quality fight, because let's be honest, Amir Khan is known for a weak chin. Amir Khan has a couple of losses, and this fight right here that he's taking with Algieri, he's fighting on a Friday, and it's not a prize fight. So it's like Floyd is actually lowering his fight standards by fighting Amir Khan now. Now that I look at it differently, it's like it sets up interesting enough that is it worth Floyd to take this fight? That's what I look at with the Amir Khan situation.
And you're right about that. And the thing is realistically, put yourself in Floyd's shoes. Almost 40 years old. You want to fight Keith Thurman? You want to fight Kell Brook? Realistically, as great as you may think he is, one of these two fighters has the ability to catch him, especially late. That's the thing. We've all talked about it. Floyd's even talked about it. Whether or not he's still one of the fastest guys in this sport, he's gotten slower. These two are in the prime of their career. I just don't see it would benefit Floyd to take them now or even in May. I think they're way off Floyd's radar. I don't think Keith Thurman has enough wins. I don't think he's over 25, right? I can't remember where Keith's at. He's not too high on wins. I know Kell Brook's in the mid-30s, but when it pertains to, you know, those two fighters, it's going to be hard for someone to sell those two to Floyd without Floyd, you know, taking real serious thought as to what happened, what could happen in one of those two fights. So I think Khan could be the forefront. If not Khan, we may even be looking at a rematch with JMM or even a rematch with Cotto. I think those three names, Khan, Cotto, and Marquez, are three names that are in contention just because, and I hate to say it, Floyd knows he can mop the floor with all three of them. And I think Khan would be the most interesting, but I do think Floyd can mop the floor with him as well. So it would be Floyd, up to Floyd's opinion, but I think he would be hard-pressed to tell me that he would take a Kell Brook fight or a Thurman fight over one of those three, knowing that he could beat those three and cruise to 49-0 and tie that record. So I couldn't see it. But like I said, I've been wrong a lot more than I'm right, but I just don't see those two fighting him.
Oh. Believe me, we know. You don't have to let us know. We all have the record standing book on Mr. Silva here in his kitchen. But believe that.
Two and oh Cavaliers, 2-0 Warriors. But well, go ahead, continue.
Oh, you want me to start with the Raiders?
Hey. I was just saying, I'm not wrong all the time.
What about Pac-Man and Mayweather?
I didn't know Pac-Man was a piece of crap and wasn't what about he was. I didn't know that.
Wait.
Oh, I don't know Pac-Man personally.
Wait.
Pac-Man had the best chance to beat him, but I didn't know Pac-Man was going to turn gutless chicken and be a lion-eating mother sucker and ruin this sport. I didn't know he was going to do that.
Look, you can't blame that on me, man. I'm just putting business out, man. You think you more right and wrong and all this other stuff. We ain't putting this on the table. You did.
I'm wrong more than I'm right, and then you try to throw out how I was wrong, and I was just saying I could be right sometimes too. Cleveland on the verge of a sweep and showing the Warriors, and I called it. I'm just saying.
Okay. There we go. Look at you talking about basketball.
I'm just talking about winning. That's it. We get back to the food fight. What's going on, man?
Right. Yes. Look. And that's why Chandler going for Canelo. Who did you want? Chandler got mad. Chandler said somebody. You said,
I was Team Triple G, and he said I'm going Team Canelo because. He didn't think Triple G was good. I don't know why. Maybe because he's mad that J.R. Smith went for 28 and I called it, but I don't know.
Okay. Fair enough. any other fights you want to tweet? Because we are running down at the end of the show. We got 5 minutes left before we got to clock out on the –
So sorry to cut you off. Yeah, we do got a few minutes in. I just wanted to talk about, you know, we always go with fantasy football, fantasy basketball, and even for the minute few that play fantasy basketball and baseball and things like that. I want to play a little fantasy boxing here and somewhat fantasize about the match that I would like to see in December. And it would really tickle my fancy, and I know it would tickle a lot of people's fancy. I want to see it. I'm tired of the waiting, and I'm tired of Cotto telling people to wait. I want to see Triple G and Miguel Cotto fight in December for the Lineal Championship, because then Andre Ward has nowhere else to go but Triple G. And I think that's the quickest way to get Andre Ward to fight Triple G, is make Triple G the Lineal Champion. So I'm definitely in full support of what the WBC decides, but I hope they upstand the mandatory for Cotto and make him fight Triple G in December, and then we can find out who the Lineal Champion is, and then Ward can come after Triple G. But that's the fantasy I want to happen. I'm pretty sure it's not going to happen. We might see Cotto Triple G or any number of fights before that even becomes a reality or talked about. But I think that would be the biggest fight to date, as it pertains in this weight class, and it would be something that a lot of people would want to see. Miguel Cotto and Triple G for the Lineal Championship, and then after that, Ward would have to fight Triple G if he wanted any kind of championship in that weight class. So I think it would have to be those two, Cotto and Triple G first, and then we can all see the fight we wanted, which a lot of people believe Ward is running from the Cotto fight or from the Triple G fight. So it'll be amazing and crazy to see how this boxing world maps itself out here. But I'm definitely in Triple G's corner, even though Chandler's in Team Canelo. I am Team Triple G, and I would love to see that fight as well, but I definitely want to see the Lineal Champion be owned by Triple G, which he deserves. But any other fights that go on, I'm excited to see no matter what. You know, I'm a boxing fan, Octagon fan, filling out the UFC fight pass right now, so I can see that tonight, and that's what's going to happen. I'm really excited about any fight, so right now, any fight that comes on, I'm excited about. So I definitely just want to see a Triple G Cotto fight in December, so we can have a middleweight Lineal Champion and see Ward fight Triple G. Now that's my fantasy list. I've said it so many times. Hopefully it comes true.
Okay, and first and foremost, he called out Canelo. So I definitely want to see that fight go down. I'm in a couple of boxing groups in Facebook, and I actually agree with the post. They said if Canelo and Triple G end up fighting, somebody is leaving standing up. Somebody will get carried out of that ring. So knowing that both of these dudes are going to do nothing else but throw hooks, these guys are not jabbers, people. They are not jabbers. They are punching with bad intention. I can just imagine who gets caught on the chin. And the looks of the way Golovkin looked in that last fight, I don't know. And I think the best thing that could have happened for Canelo, too, was for him to fight a skilled boxer like Floyd Mayweather, because now he's pinpointing, and everybody's seen Kirkland on those toes like a ballet dance. So I'm just hoping that don't happen to Triple G. I'm a big Triple G fan myself, but Canelo's starting to win me back. And Cotto, I don't know what's up with Cotto. I don't know what's up with Ward. These guys are avoiding cameras and questions left and right. It's only so much running y'all could do. All right. Anything else that we have on Trey before we start to shut it down here at the food fight?
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
How about this for kind of a round robin tournament, Nacho and Ty, for guys to fight? Now, if Kirkland is back with Ann, it's the only reason I'm including him, because I hate to assume, but I'm assuming he's going to be back with Ann. So Kirkland fights, say, Cotto. Canelo fights, say, Ward. Triple G fights somebody as a tune-up, because these are all going to be tune-ups, leading up to the winners then face off against each other. What do you guys think about that? It's not a tournament, but it's sort of the way to get these fights and get the interest in and get these guys ready to fight, because all these guys don't need – They're going to do at least one more fight. But I think Kirkland, if he's back with Ann, needs to fight one of these three guys.
Hold on. I think you can remove Kirkland. I don't think nobody's going to pick watch him fight anymore.
I think you can remove him too, but if he gets back with Ann Wolf and gets a couple titles, not title shots, but get a couple shots and does what he was doing with Ann Wolf before and he's knocking people out again, and it's proven that Ann Wolf is the key to his success, I think down the road he can get another shot at one of these guys, but definitely not to be a tune-up for one of these guys in the near future. Just because of the way he looked against Canelo, no one's going to want to put him in the ring and pay for that.
Okay.
Now, interesting enough that you did say the round robin situation. The next scheduled fight that they're saying that might potentially be in the works of being signed right now isn't the Canelo Triple G fight, isn't the Cotto Triple G fight. It's actually called Frotch and Triple G. They are actually trying to materialize that and get that signed. And knowing that he's been in that round robin, you know, world championship middleweight situation, knowing that he's trying to actually get to Triple G and win that fight, because he actually sets up an interesting fight with Triple G because he has reach, he likes to box too. So if he can stay away with Triple G and win rounds, that would be big. But I know if Triple G gets inside like he needs to, Frotch, I think his chair can be tested. So that is something to watch. So knowing that they are trying to set that one up until these guys actually take out the bait and get enough of Triple G calling them out every time he's sitting up there knocking dudes out, time will only tell. Okay. Anything else that we got to address before we shut her down?
No, nothing really. Like I said, just the UFC was what I wanted to get into, and I did not know that you had an invested interest in tonight's match, which was interesting for me. Like I said, I find out new things every day, but nothing else more. And like I said, just keep a lookout for these fights on TV. They're going to be all over the place and everywhere, and it's not just going to be no names, but there will be some big names as well.
If you don't know, go check out my page. I'll show you how close me and Anthony are. This is real talk, people. I know this guy for real. I mean, I literally picked him up. So, like, man, I don't know, Ant-Man, do it, man, because I'm going to be pissed for the rest of the night. You don't do your job, man. You know it, dog, man. You know me. So I'm in Sports City screaming for you. You already know. I need plugs, closeouts from both of you. Another epic show in Sports City. Felt great, man. I'm smiling ear to ear, and it's back to goosebump mode for myself because I got to get ready for this fight party because everybody that I know Ant is going to be here, so it's going to be crazy. I need plugs and closeouts from both of you as we shut it down here at the Food Fight. I'll start with you first, Chandler. Thank you for stopping by the Food Fight. Interesting enough, I want to ask you a question. Before we leave here, Chandler, in your day, who do you think was the better fighter of all time in their respective fight? Three fighters, Hagler, Hearns, or Duran. Who do you like out of the three?
Wow. I got to go with the Hitman. I love Marvin Hagler, but I got to go with the Hitman because he could change up styles. He could change up styles, and Hagler was a one-style fighter. So I got to go with the Hitman, Tommy Hearns. And plus, given the fact that I've met the man, I know the man, really good guy, really nice man, really, really, really nice man. Mark Breland introduced me to him years ago. Really nice man. So I'm going to go with the Hitman because I know him. But thanks for letting me on, guys. Thanks for letting me, you know, pretend that I know something about boxing. Anthony Johnson, when you win the championship, we expect you to come on Sports City so we can talk to you. I'm calling it right now. Anthony Johnson, after you win, we expect you on Sports City. And I got two words for you, Nacho, since you keep saying J.R. Smith, Oakland Raiders.
Okay. Mr. Silva, I need a plug, close out anything that you'd like to promote. They are throwing food at you in the Food Fight. Let's go.
At Nacho in the Box on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, J.R. Smith. As it pertains to the boxing fights and anything else that goes on, this is going to be a fun day. If you're not watching, Darrell knocked down twice already, Darrell cutting to Gale. So that's a fight that's already going down in hand. And I believe it's in the fifth round. That's something exciting to go watch. Cormier, do me some favor and win. I don't like to make people sad in the food fight in the kitchen, but it might happen tomorrow in the brunch. But just come on, Cormier. Do me one solid and make me not a liar at least one time in this kitchen. At least one time I want to not be a liar and win something. Right now, you know, I'm looking good with these 2-0 picks in the NBA, but, you know, we know what can happen. So I'm just really excited to see these fights and what goes on. I'm super excited for anything in this boxing grand scheme of things just because of what's going on, like I said, on the networks, the regular TV networks that anyone can get. You're going to be able to see big-time fighters fighting big-time fights for titles like there's one right now on NBC going on. So just stay tuned and listen to that. As it pertains to the Wyman Vitor Belfort fight, come on, Belfort, do me a favor, win this fight for me. Then we can just see a ton of big fights in the middleweight class, and hopefully we can get Anderson Silva back, and we can, you know, like you said, a little tournament. And at boxing, I think if Anderson Silva comes back and Vitor Belfort's a champion, there might be about six guys that'll be in the running for that title, and it may be one of the biggest years for that class as it pertains to big-name fights and big-name pay-per-views. So this is going to be an awesome day as it pertains to UFC, I think, and this could be an awesome day for boxing through and throughout with Darrell and DeGale. So this is going to be fun to see. Thank you guys so much for letting me come on again and voice my opinion and do what I love to do, food fight. Thank you guys so much.
4-3, I'm going to tell you like this, you know what I'm saying? Nacho's doing good in other sports. But when it comes to the fight game, if he sides with Timeless, he's doing all right. When he run away from Timeless, this is food for thought, people. Nacho has to do some dishes. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. We will be back in tomorrow with the brunch. It should be very interesting to see how things go down, especially with how things went with James Harden. The last time that they played the Warriors, he did not get a shot off. Very interesting. While he had a shot to win the game, fast break and everything, he stopped and gave Dwight Howard the ball at the top of the key with second on the clock. James, I love you, but what's going on? Said by Marvin Gaye. A lot of interesting stuff, a lot of trash talk going back and forth. This dude really wants Cormier to win. And he know how me and Rumble get down, man. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Gat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is a phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I could buy a few cars, then I pick a few flows, so I could pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, back done. Ridiculous, and I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, mattos. Call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows, militant. Y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, homes. You in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me. The most shady, Frankie baby. Fantastic, graphic. Try to make dough like Jurassic. Park in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me. The underboss of this holocaust, truly yours.
right.
Real life shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas at? Where my niggas at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches at? We got the real life shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas at? Where my niggas at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches at?
Money on the table and get your math on. Break it down, split it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never lose the passion to go platinum. Said I live it up to all the cash gone. Ain't that funny? Only use plastic, crafted to make plastic. Hotter than acid, PD. Blowing on your tape of CD. The billboard killer, no scene killer. The famo, ammo, and every channel. We've been hot for a long time, burning like a candle. What you can do is check your distribution. My song from the Houston, I start with the Houston. You ain't got it like me, you just mad. Cause I tell it how it is, and you tell it how it might be.
We got this shit mapped tight, brass knuckles and flashlights. The heaters in the two seaters with two meters. Senoritas, kiss rings when you meet us. D Diddy run the city, show no pity. I'm the witty one, Frank the crook from the brook. Maddie broke the neck of your coconut. No respect, squeeze off to all y'all diminished. Shootouts for 20 minutes until we finish. Then it's to the loot, escape in the coupe, break bread with the kiss. Panero, chic loose, Black Rob join the mob. It ain't no replacing him, niggas step up. We just macing them, placing them in funerals. Criminals turn the vows to Brick City. Nobody come off like P. Diddy. Business wise, I play men. Hide money on the island, Cayman. Y'all just betray men, we spray men. Opposition, competition of a day in the life of the commission.
We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit.
Can y'all hear me out there?
It's all fucked up now. What I'ma do now? Huh? What I'ma do now? It's all fucked up now.
I'm staring at the world through my rear view. Go ahead, baby, scream to God. He can help you with your problems. Thug brothers, why when we come through, they can relate to chef music, help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City. That's all I've got. I'm gone.